Oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 09-3010, United States of America versus Sean Maurice Johnson, appellant. Mr. Briley for appellant, Ms. Zaleski for appellee.
Mr. Briley, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. I am John Briley. I was appointed by this court to represent Mr. Johnson on his appeal. I was also appointed under the Criminal Justice Act to represent Mr. Johnson in the district court. This case presents a very narrow issue of whether, in our view, whether or not the commentary of the sentencing guidelines are binding, settle any question of fact that might come up in a sentencing proceeding.
Well, the Supreme Court has answered that, hasn't it? It's authoritative, unless you can find some inconsistency between the commentary and statute, right? So what's the inconsistency?
Well, the inconsistency, in our view, is that the definition, the inclusion in the definition of every law enforcement officer in the country as a public official in a sensitive or decision-making position is just too broad.
How so? What's...
Well, it puts the most junior law enforcement officer at the same level as the most senior law enforcement officer in the country. And there are law enforcement officers who claim...
Well, isn't it just saying that there's a threshold beyond which we take special cognizance of the fact that it's a person in sensitive position? And if someone is authorized to arrest someone, which is a pretty serious matter, right, that they've crossed that threshold?
Well, it is a serious matter.
But I don't think there's any argument that the chief magistrate of the nation is the same as a foot patrolman. That's not the point. The point is whether the foot patrolman has sufficient authority that this enhancement ought to apply if and when he or she is involved in bribes.
Yeah, I think we would agree with that, but I would argue that the authority to make an arrest is not a decision-making authority that binds the governmental, the public entity that the officer who has hired that officer. So that if an officer makes an arrest, he is not an officer in the District of Columbia makes an arrest, that officer has not bound the District of Columbia to validate
the District of Columbia to potential liability for false arrest, right?
Well,
and from the point of view of the citizen, it's rather binding.
I'm sorry?
Two things. From the point of view of the citizen, it's rather binding. And second place, from the point of view of the government, involves exposure to liability for false arrest.
Well, the government is liable, maybe, if that officer makes a mistake, but the officer...
Also, you talked about binding the government. That's certainly a form in which the government can be bound.
Well, I would argue that if the arrest has been false, and although the District of Columbia or any municipality might be liable in damages, the government is not decision-making, where the officer is wrong, doesn't bind the government forever. In that sense, so that if there...
You have a high standard.
Well, I agree it's a high standard, but I think that the argument that Mr. Johnson was making was that the four-point enhancement that he was facing, which could have resulted in a much more serious sentence than did result, put him in a position of risk that he believed was not warranted by his status as a, I believe, a grade 9 police officer, special police officer, who is not even a member of a organized police force. He's hired as a security guard. So I think I just submit that the automatic inclusion is too broad.
The actual sentence he got
I mean, with a level offense of 17, he faced 24 to 30 months, and the judge gave him 12 months in one day.
Yes, he got it. Judge.
Which, if without the enhancement, would have been within the 13 offense level, 12 to 18. So even if you didn't count the enhancement, his sentence was within the unenhanced offense.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, well, yeah. Mr. Johnson conceded in his brief that his sentence will not be affected by what this court decides in terms of the legal point. But nevertheless, Mr. Johnson believed that it was a point worth making.
You better not go that far.
I'm sorry?
You better not go that far. Then you're making the case moot.
Well, the government didn't argue that the case was moot. They didn't raise that point.
Well, it goes to jurisdiction, so it doesn't matter what the government argues.
Well,
presumably your alternative argument is that if we found that to be error, we would remand so that the district court could resentence with a different view of the proper range. It might come out conceivably below.
Well, I believe, I think that the sentence might come out lower. Judge Friedman expressed, first of all, he did not.
Well, he didn't go by the guidelines to begin with.
He didn't. No, he went below the guidelines. He looked at the guidelines, and he indicated that he did not have much interest in the argument that I made to him that I'm making now, that the commentary was much too broad. But nevertheless, the four-point enhancement, his view of Mr. Johnson as someone with a kind of authority that the Sentencing Commission believed warranted enhancements, a four-point enhancement, that may have affected his decision on what to, on where to pick a sentence, even though he picked a sentence, determined a sentence that was below the guideline range. He might have gone even lower if he had accepted the argument that Mr. Johnson was not a person who met the definition in the guidelines. Well, I'm just pointing out that the argument is not with the guideline definition of the enhancement. The argument goes to the example that was put into the commentary. So that's, and if there are no
further. And your argument turns on that the example in the commentary of a law enforcement officer is inconsistent with a sensitive position, right?
Every law, yes. The example of every law enforcement officer is not consistent with the definition of the guideline. That's our argument, yes. So if there are no further questions, I'll reserve some time for rebuttal.
I'm sorry, does the guideline say every law enforcement officer?
They don't say every, but they say a law enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. It's a generic term.
I guess one can imagine interpretations of that would be extraordinarily broad. I mean, I guess a parking officer is a law enforcement officer of a kind.
Well, yeah, I believe that Mr. Johnson would meet the definition, the very, very broad definition of a law enforcement officer, but he was a security guard whose principal duty was to police the area that the parking area around the high schools, and that was his main function.
All right, thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Selesky.
Good morning. May it please the court, Courtney Selesky on behalf of the United States. The district court did not abuse its discretion by applying this enhancement to appellant's case. All the parties agree that the appellant in this case was a law enforcement officer. The definitional section in Application Note 4 to this sentencing guidelines provides, as an example of a sensitive position holder, a law enforcement officer. We believe that's...
What's the limit on that? What's the limit on law enforcement officer? I mean, Judge Williams talked about somebody who gives a traffic tickets for parking, illegal parking. Is that a law enforcement officer?
I think the answer is that it depends on it. You would have to functionally look at what they do to.
Well, I'm telling you. A meter, what used to be referred to as a meter maid, is that a law enforcement officer?
I think probably not.
Why not?
So, I mean, okay, well, within law enforcement officer, if you just look at the examples, then the answer is probably yes, and I'm sorry that I missed.
Why?
So when the commission goes to define these things and passes these things and provides examples, they take into account what sort of individuals that they would like to encompass in this guideline. And when they did so, especially in the 2003 amendments to the guidelines, they made a decision to no longer just reach what the definitional section had said before, which was supervisory level officers, and instead determined that it would be appropriate to encompass all law enforcement officers. And so under their reasonable definition of what should be reached by this conduct, they have determined that law enforcement officers as a whole should be reached. This case is different because—
I understand about this case. I'm trying to understand. Under Stinson, we have to determine whether the commentary is inconsistent with the guideline. And the guideline talks about sensitive position. Commentary talks about law enforcement officers. So it's your position that a meter maid occupies a sensitive position, such that if there's a bribe given to a meter maid, the enhancement applies?
I think the answer to that is yes.
What about if you had a private security officer?
Well, so I think this sentencing guideline is only talking about public officials, so we would have a different case, and that may fall under a different provision, but not under this provision.
So a private security officer, okay, I understand that.
So was there any government employee who's not a law enforcement officer?
Yes, Your Honor. So law enforcement officers are usually commissioned by the jurisdiction that they work for to enforce the laws of their jurisdiction. And for example, there are many people who work for the District of Columbia who would not fall within the example of law enforcement officer. They may fall under another sensitive position holder or high-level decision maker, but not a law enforcement officer. And in this case,
is the arrest power have anything to do with the distinction? If someone doesn't have the arrest power, are they not a law enforcement officer under the commentary?
Not under the commentary. I think there are two ways to look at the commentary. You can look at the definition and you can look at the examples. We think that the commission has defined the contours of who falls into, who may fall into this guideline and included the example of law enforcement officer to make a reasonable judgment that all law enforcement officers necessarily hold sensitive positions. Those people who have the arrest power could in and of themselves fall under the definitional section, we believe, and that is because they would have the direct authority to make sensitive decisions on behalf of the government for whom they would be making those arrests.
So the answer is no, you don't need to have the arresting power to be a law enforcement officer.
That's correct, Your Honor. Okay. We believe that there's not merit to the appellant's argument that the application note is internally inconsistent, and we also believe that there is no merit to his secondary argument that if it is internally inconsistent and this court decides to put aside the example of law enforcement officer, that he would not still fall within the definitional section, which explains that a person is in a sensitive position if they have the direct authority to make decisions on behalf of the government. If Your Honors have no further question,
Are there any cases which apply the law enforcement officer language to anyone with what I guess I've assumed were the modest responsibilities of a meter maid?
Not that I am aware, Your Honor. There aren't
any cases applying it to someone without authority to make an arrest.
Not that I am aware, Your Honor. I have not looked for all of those cases, but there aren't that many cases that apply this enhancement.
I mean, at some point, doesn't giving a very broad reading to law enforcement officer make it inconsistent with the guideline itself.
It is certainly true that I can imagine a case where, yes, Your Honor, it's certainly true that I can imagine a case where someone who is named a law enforcement officer just has no authority to do anything that binds the government that commissions them. I'm not aware of that type of officer, but I can imagine one who could fit into that, and at which point the application of the definition of the example of law enforcement officer could possibly be inconsistent with the definitional portion.
And I guess I'm also troubled by your reliance on binding the government. Of course, appellant's counsel also invoked that concept. I mean, we see that concept constantly brought up in connection with challenges to policy decisions, let's say policy opinions that agencies issue, which are said not to bind the agency. So apparently someone who is issuing those opinions but could do nothing else would not be a law enforcement officer.
Well,
though his or her authority might be vastly greater and with responsibilities far more sensitive than those of a meter maid.
So the actual text of the application note that provides the definition says has the discretion to the authority and discretion to make decisions on behalf of the government. So with Your Honor's example, it's not entirely clear that the person that you're suggesting would fall outside of that definition.
No.
Because the text of the guideline does not actually use the word binds. And Your Honor, our position as well, just to note, is that this appellant was more than a security guard. He was commissioned on behalf of the DC public schools to enforce the laws within the jurisdiction of those schools. He wore a uniform, he carried a gun, and moreover, his offense of conviction stemmed directly out of his authority that he was commissioned with to enforce the laws, or in this case, to not enforce the laws after accepting a bribe. So, Your Honors, we would submit with respect to the rest of the arguments on our briefs if there are no further questions, and we ask the court to affirm the judgment.
All right, thank you. Does Mr. Barley have any time? Anything you want to respond to?
Nothing further.
All right. You were appointed to represent Mr. Johnson. We thank you for your assistance.
You're